Well, praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for his goodness. I could say this is a little bit of an act of faith here tonight. I know I do feel pretty good. I've really felt pretty good for the last several days, but I still am blowing my nose and coughing a little bit, and before service, my voice didn't sound very good, and oh my. But praise the Lord. Amen. I've just been believing he's going to help me. I felt like I had something I wanted to say tonight. And praise the Lord, by faith, here I am. And just thanking God and praising him.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We do need him. And he is so gracious. He is so faithful.
Yes, he is.
And he's looking for people to have faith. Amen. People that will just believe God at his word and embrace it by faith. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray for Brother Tim, too, because I know he has had a lot of back pain, and oh my, not so easy to sit here either. Oh, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Jesus. We do thank you, Lord, that we have such honor and such a privilege. Oh God, that you are not hidden to us, Lord, but you have revealed yourself to us, Lord. Oh God, you have made yourself known to us. And we are so very blessed, more than we could ever express in words, more than we can begin to comprehend. And I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that you'd work in our hearts tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd use this Bible study. You'd help me to know how to teach here tonight. Oh God, oh Lord, that you give me the words, the authority, the ability, the anointing. Oh God, a voice to speak with, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you would work in our hearts and that you would help us, Lord. Oh God, I do pray for Brother Tim too, Lord, and ask that you would touch his back, Lord, that you put your hand on his back and heal his back. Oh God, and help him, Lord. Oh God, you know the ordeals that your people face. And oh God, you are the one that delivers us, that heals us, that sets us free. And oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, we pray for your help here tonight. Your anointing, let the devil have no place. We rebuke him in Jesus' name. And oh God, we ask, oh Lord, that you would go forth and minister to our hearts. Oh Jesus, in your precious saving name, for the power of the blood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Praise the Lord. I was scanning my computer a little bit the other day. Well, I guess the MSN site that is on my computer sometimes has some worthwhile things on it. Sometimes, I say. And I came across something I just could not ignore, frankly. There's this game show that they have on there, and what it basically seems to be is two different families that kind of feud against each other, and there's a question that is asked, and I assume that the audience, you know, prepares answers to this question, and then, you know, the two families are, you know, they have to try to come up with, you know, the right answer is what the audience said in reply, or at least I'm assuming it's the audience. But anyway, they're looking at that, and I saw this question, and the question was, what would you bring to your end of the world party? Let me just read that again. What would you bring to your end of the world party? And of course, oh my, I'm thinking, yeah, they're talking about the end of the world. It kind of got my attention just a little bit. And so anyway, you know, the first individual, you know, brings forth his answer, and honestly, he says beer. And oh yes, they look at the board and guess what? The first expected response is beer. And then there were some other, you know, answers that came forth that were basically right, and I think, you know, stuff like food and games and all of that, I guess. But then there was another response that I just couldn't believe. This person said that the thing that he would bring to his end of the world party would be strippers. And I'm just thinking, these people, they have no clue. And then there was one answer that they didn't get at all. And guess what it was? The thing that was necessary to bring your Bible, you know, some religious books and all that kind of thing. And they completely ignored that issue. And oh my, it just showed me where their thinking was. Just so pathetic, you know, the moment before the Lord's return, if they, you know, whatever they think, maybe they just think the earth's going to end and, you know, that's going to be it. But oh my, we know we have the book, praise the Lord, and we know that our God is coming. He is coming to judge this world in righteousness. And I can be certain that he is not too pleased with the way people are thinking right now as a whole. I mean, you could see it on their faces and in the way they look and, you know, their attitude. So much is revealed. It makes me think of the days of Noah. And of course, Jesus compared the days before his coming and the end of the world, you know, to the days of Noah. And just to just go there to just see what the end of the world was like at that point, the end of their world, because yes, it was greatly changed after the flood. It tells us in the sixth chapter of Genesis, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Oh, God is grieved, I'm sure, of the condition of this world. Oh, the gross unbelief and all the philosophies of men and all the great wickedness, oh, that is prevailing from one end of the world to the next. But oh, yes, the Lord said in verse 7 here, the sixth chapter of Genesis, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Oh my, what a moment. You know, God has standards. He has expectations. He made man with, you know, the great hopes that, you know, they would follow after his ways. But of course, man has tremendously failed to do that. But praise the Lord, as the scene was about to close on this earth, there in the sixth chapter of Genesis, we find in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord."
Thank God.
Amen, amen, amen. And praise the Lord, you know, at such a time as this, oh yes, we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We want to be faithful despite all that's going on and all the nastiness and all the rebellion and all the hard hearts. And oh yes, that description, you know, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Oh my, you know, boy. People think they're a Christian and, oh, have that kind of mentality. They're only deceiving and fooling themselves. Amen. Oh, my. But, oh, yes. So, thank God. God has talked to our hearts. And, oh, he has oh, opened up our hearts so that we could see and understand, so that we could repent, amen, because we had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all were in that jam. We all needed a Savior, and oh, thank the Lord, He put it in us to do that, to repent. Amen, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, you know, there is coming a time when God is going to come and judge this world. And, you know, from everything I see, it looks like it's on the hand. It's at hand, you know, that it's forthcoming. You know, I don't want to see the end of our monetary system. But little things that I read make me realize I don't think it's going to last very much longer. I mean, you know, you got BRICS and, you know, these other countries that are lining up, China and Russia. And Brazil just had a big deal, and they made this alliance with China, and you know, it's goodbye to the American dollar, and you know, this could easily just be the start of that. And we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow may hold, but one thing we do know is God be true and every man a liar. And we know that God is faithful, and what God has said in His word, He will do. Amen. And oh yes, we don't know what the days will bring forth, but there's something that we want very desperately. And this is the title of this message here tonight. We want to be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Amen.
Hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 2 here as we begin here tonight. Zephaniah chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Amen. And here I'm just going to read a rather short portion, I believe, of this passage, but let's just see how the Lord leads here. This is quite a book, this little book that Zephaniah penned, but anyway, and oh my, the whole book could be quite a instructional guide here tonight, but we're going to go here to verse 1, chapter 2, Zephaniah. It says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired." It does seem like there's kind of a gathering together of the nations of the world even at this point. I mean, yeah, there's divisions and all this is and that, but you know, I don't know. Trump's Board of Peace, you know, are they going to work it all out or attempt to? Oh my. We'll see, but these are the moments. These are perilous moments. It says, "Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Oh my, and all that description, it is in so many places in the Old Testament and also described in places in the New. But that day when He comes forth with anger, and anger that's very fierce, anger that has never been seen or described before, as our righteous God comes to judge this world in His righteousness. But here, it tells us what needs to be done here in verse 3. Oh, there is a great need. Oh my, all of that man would seek the Lord. Oh, that they would call upon Him, if they forget all their frivolousness and all their sin-bound activities and get on their knees and repent and turn to the Lord. Oh, yes, to seek Him for favor. Of course, I couldn't help but think of Nineveh as I was pondering all these scriptures and thinking, you know, of all places, whoever thought those wicked Assyrians would repent and get right with God. But oh my, you know, it happened. It happened because God worked in their hearts, and oh, it was caused to happen. And it's such an amazing thing. Just briefly referring to the book of Jonah here, it tells us when Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, chapter 3 of Jonah, and he began to cry, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And I can imagine that was his message. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And you know, he kept on repeating it. And oh, it tells us so amazingly. So the people of Nineveh believed. They believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat and in ashes. Oh, what a humbling. But oh my, they realize this is serious. Oh, this prophet, he's proclaiming a word, and they believed it. Oh, yes, and it would have been true, because God would have absolutely have destroyed them at that point if they had not repented. And so it is. The king got up from his throne. He took off his robe, and he covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, sitting in ashes. In other words, he humbled himself, and oh my, he also caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Oh, that's a description of them. They were known for that. Oh, yes, but here the king is making a decree and proclaiming, oh, yes, everyone, no eating, no drinking. Oh, yes, even the beasts be covered with sackcloth. Cry, cry, cry mightily unto God. And yes, with that cry, let there be a turning away from everyone's evil way. And from their violence, oh my, oh, that was their way of life, oh my, repentance. And then, yes, with a thought in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Oh, there's such a secret in this passage, because God is the same. And he is looking for people who will humble themselves and get down on their knees and cry out and repent. Amen. And oh, yes, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Oh, thank God they perceived it. Oh, yes, they understood it, and they realized their great need to get right. And the beautiful thing is, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God's response to genuine repentance. Oh, it's an amazing story. But oh, yes, there's a need, yes, as it cries out here in Zephaniah, to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, yes. What a story. And, you know, I think about that, because, you know, We think about potential things that could happen and possibilities to do our little puny brains. But, you know, as far as, you know, this end time goes, and we know it could get pretty rough. But God has a way of keeping us. And, you know, so often, almost all the time, when we seek the Lord for some answer, some solution, the way he answers is very likely not the way we considered, not the way we were thinking he would do it. But he has a way of hiding his people. And I just couldn't help but think, you know, there we have some examples in God's word that show how he has hidden his people. Of course, you know, one of the first things that comes to mind is Elijah. There, the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And there, you know, again, a very, very wicked time. And as we hear of Elijah, we know that he has gone forth with a message to Ahab, that very, very wicked king. And, you know, he had told Ahab that there was not going to be dew nor rain for quite a period of time, according to his word, as the Lord inspired him because of the sin. And he made that proclamation to wicked old Ahab, and then God told Elijah to go hide himself. He was to go eastward, it tells us in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, and go hide himself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it's so beautiful because it tells us, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And lo and behold, he went according to God's word. He went precisely to the spot that God had told him, and he found that brook Cherith, and that brook Cherith before Jordan, and it happened just as God had said. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. But, you know, eventually that brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. But, you know, God just didn't let Elijah, you know, die because of no food, no water. Well, possibly the ravens would have continued, I don't know, but that wasn't God's plan at this point. God had another plan, and I love that. You know, God's so in charge. He knows all the details, and he has a great love for his people. He cares for us, and oh my, you know, it's his will that he would help us through every predicament. And so the second remedy comes forth, the second plan of God, and this time Elijah is told to go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, and there God had commanded a widow woman to sustain him. And you know, the story unfolds, and there it was. He went to the gate of the city, Zarephath, and there's this widow woman, and she's gathering sticks, and he calls her, and you know, he boldly asks her to, you know, please bring him a little water in a vessel that he could drink. And she went to fetch it, and as she's going to go get the water, he has another request that he boldly asks her, and that's, please, would you bring me a little morsel of bread in thine hand? And, you know, this woman, oh my, such is the story, you know, because she says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And, you know, obviously she was down to the very last of the meal. The barrel was almost empty. There was just enough for, you know, one more little cake. And there was just enough oil left in the cruse to make it. And here, you know, this bold request, you know, but God has a plan, and it is so beautiful. He is so ahead of us, and he has a plan for each and every one of us. And he certainly is going to know how to help us in the times of great trouble and trials, even famine. Oh my. So it tells us the 13th verse in this chapter. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And it tells us, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, either did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Oh, God stood behind his servant, and oh my, it happened exactly as Elijah proclaimed, praise the Lord. And they were all nourished and fed and able to survive, oh, God's plan. But, you know, I just have always marveled, and you've heard me say this before, in the next chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole next chapter, but, we find out that, Ahab and his extremely wicked wife Jezebel had been so upset with Elijah that they sent out servants, military people, you could say even, to go find Elijah. And they went to every nation and every kingdom that they knew to try to find one man, to find Elijah. And, you know, when they got there, you know, it had to be verified by an oath that he was not there, that particular kingdom or nation that was sought after, oh my, to find Elijah. They couldn't find him, could they? Even though they went to every place they knew of, they couldn't find him. Why? Because God had hid him. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love that story. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, another good example, I feel, is Moses. Of course, we know that he was hidden as a baby, and that too was a wondrous work of the Lord to keep this little child hid, you know, from the hands of the Egyptians who were ordered to kill all the male babies. Oh my, so, you know, that certainly was a work of God to preserve him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. But we find out in Exodus that there was another event there as we go to the second chapter of Exodus. And this is when Moses was grown. And, you know, it came to him that he was going to go out and look on his brethren, his Hebrew people, and look at their burden and just see for himself what it was all like. And as he's doing this, he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and, you know, he looked one way and then the other, it tells us in the 12th verse of this second chapter, and there's no one that he could see that, you know, would have noted this. He slew the Egyptian and then hid the body in the sand. Well, he goes out the second day, and this time he sees two Hebrews that are striving together. They're having a debate, a fight or something, and you know, one did something wrong, and you know, he said to him, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And you know, they say, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And all at once Moses realized, he's a young man at this point, fairly young anyway, he feared and said, Boy, this thing is known. What I did the day before, it's known how I killed the Egyptian. Oh my, and all at once he knows he has to go hide. He has to go hide. And true enough, it tells us in the 15th verse of this second chapter of Exodus, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Of course, we know that he ended up there 40 years. 40 years of hiding from Egypt, so to speak, and so on. But anyway, God's plan, and you know, God making a way for him in the midst of this trouble, because obviously, yeah, Pharaoh was going to kill him, you know, if he was to be found. So yes, not only did God hide him as a little one, a newborn baby, but oh boy, you know, here as he was older and come to age, oh yes, God took care of that matter too. Amen. Amen. So yes, God knew exactly how to do it, and how to preserve life, and how to keep the man Moses. And of course, we know that there was a plot, to take the life of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, after the wise men came, and beheld him and worshipped him and brought the gifts there in the in the book of Matthew, the second chapter of Matthew. Amen. And there again, God had a plan, and he made a way of escape. And God used a dream to tell Joseph that he needed to arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So Joseph arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. Oh yeah, there were no delays in that matter. God made it urgent, and it was necessary, yes, that an escape was made. Of course, that was a fulfillment of scripture, because God had said, out of Egypt have I called my son, there, and Hosea, I believe. And, Herod did go forth to do his dirty work. And, oh, yes, because he didn't want a king to rise up and take his place, as, the wise men, the many magi who had come from the east to behold him. And if you want to read in Isaiah 60, you know that it wasn't just three. It was a crowd of wise men that had entered in, to inquire where he was born, the king of the Jews. For they had seen a star in the east, and they had come to worship him. Praise the Lord. But, God took care of all the details. And so sad, Herod in his anger. In his jealousy. Had all the young ones killed from age 2 and under. According to the time that he figured, would disclose the time that this king of the Jews had been found. But oh yes, God preserved the life of his son, amen, Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, that matter was taken care of. And yes, they were hidden from Herod there in Egypt. But yes, there are so many examples in God's word. But oh yes, we know that is God's way, that he knows how to hide us. And when we think about his wrath, when he comes forth in his wrath, it's going to be so different than most people imagine. Oh yes, most people don't think of God as angry. But the scripture tells us quite differently in so many cases, in so many passages of Scripture. Let's just look at a few of them here quickly here. Of course, one familiar place that I've gone to many times is Psalm 76. And here it tells us, Psalm 76, verse 6. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Oh, wow, you know, all God has to do is say it. And it happens, amen. At his rebuke, oh, yes, the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Of course, that's what happened when the Egyptians tried to cross the Red Sea, not fearing God. And it tells us in verse 7, thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Oh, that's such a telling verse there, verse 7. Oh, yes, thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Tells us in verse 8, thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Oh my, what a day that will be as, oh yes, he brings forth his people. But oh yes, the wicked will be judged in his wrath, in his great displeasure. Oh my, what a moment that is, and oh, how warning needs to be taken. Oh yes, as we realized, he is coming forth, and oh yes, he who came to this world to save us from sin is then going to judge sin. He made a way of escape so we didn't have to be condemned, so we didn't have to go to the lake of fire, oh my, so we all could stand in his sight. But how sad when people have ignored the mercy and the goodness of the Lord, his wonderful provision of salvation, which he has given to the children of men. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, this privilege that we have to bow our knee, to get right, to surrender our hearts to God. Amen. Oh, yes, so we can stand before him, so we can be right in his sight. Amen. Oh, tells us Jeremiah 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Oh, yes. It's going to be anger like they have never imagined or even considered. You know, people just take sin so lightly. You know that question, you know, what would you bring to your end of the world party? And, you know, just automatically, you know, the first response, beer. You know, no regard for God. And then someone, oh, just so blatant, so nasty, to just, you know, say that, you know, he would bring strippers. Oh, I'll tell you what, God is not pleased with this ugly world. The sin, oh my, the thinking of man. Are we different than in the days of Noah? God so upset at that point that he was going to destroy that world, that he, oh yes, regretted that he had even created man and beast. Oh my, thank God for Noah, who found grace in the sight of the Lord. And you know, even now there is a remnant, according to the grace and mercy of God, who has not bowed their knee to Baal, oh yes, or kissed his image, oh yes, who will stand faithful, praise the Lord. But oh yes, so many places warn, oh God knows, oh yes, that day is coming. And yet the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, as it tells us in Psalms 2. And here it tells, oh, it describes the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Oh, we don't want anything to do with God. Oh my, we've got, you know, AI, and you know, we've got the ability, oh my, to go forth and, you know, work at this world over and, oh my, you know, do our thing. We don't need God. We don't need his restrictions. We don't need his law. Oh my, we don't want his covenant. No way. So there they are, gathering together, taking counsel against God. Oh yes, with, you know, the plot to break, you know, his bands asunder, cast away those cords, you know, just get from out from under him. But it tells us, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Praise the Lord. There he is, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, no matter what they're trying to do, their conspiracies and everything else as they meet together to try to defeat God. Oh, it says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. All right, just a minute. I will declare the decree. And we read about the decree. And, oh, yes, before. It says, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. It's going to be no big feat for the Lord. You know, he's just going to speak it and do it. And, you know, his rod of iron, and just dash them in pieces like they were just a piece of clay, a potter's vessel. Oh no, nothing for God, no big feat for him.
Amen.
But oh my, if you're wise, it tells us here, verse 10 here in Psalms 2, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Oh, yes, get a understanding. Oh, he is a mighty God. He is the King of kings. There is none beside him. He is going to come back. Oh, yes, to judge this world. He does not tolerate sin.
Amen.
He came to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, turn around, you kings. Be instructed, ye judges. Oh my, and of course that goes for every one of us. Amen. The great need to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. It says in verse 12 here, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. What a relief, you know, to hear him say, well done. I can't imagine anything more needful, anything to yearn for more than to hear God say, well done. Oh, yes, to pardon us, to let us go, you know, to be judged free of sin at that moment. So yes, you need to get right with God. It says, kiss the Son. In other words, get right with him. Hey, acknowledge him. Bow your knee. Repent. Turn around. Oh, lest he be angry, and then you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, praise the Lord. He's going to preserve his people. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be all right for his family, his sons and his daughters. Thank the Lord. Oh God. Oh yes. As long as we have acknowledged him and come to the cross and bowed our knee and repented of our sins and obeyed the gospel message and plan. Amen. Oh yes, as we have been instructed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. Such a needful thing, to get right with God. Oh, people's judgment, how they think they can escape the wrath of the Lord. And, the crazy thing, it talks about it in Isaiah 28, those scornful men, that are rulers in Jerusalem. There it mentions in Isaiah 28, verse 14, that they have had made a covenant with death and, an agreement with hell. And assuming that the overflowing scourge would pass through and it wouldn't come to them because they had made lies their refuge. And under falsehood, they had hid themselves. Oh, they had hid themselves under falsehood. Oh, and they had made lies their refuge. Oh, I tell you, that's just the opposite. Their covenant with death is going to be disannulled, and their agreement with hell is not going to stand, it's told in that 18th verse. Oh my, amen. Praise the Lord. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. But can you imagine? Oh my, instead of hiding in Jesus, they had made lies their refuge. And oh yes, hiding under falsehood. Oh, that kind of cloak upon themselves. Oh, well, oh my, it certainly is not going to stand, is it? Oh, there is no way it's going to stand. Oh, and they stand before the Lord and God comes forth in his judgment. There's another description I'd like to share here tonight. It's also in a minor prophet. It's in Nahum chapter 1. Praise the Lord. If you'll turn there with me, praise the Lord. It tells us the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. And now the next two verses reveal some of God's characteristics, some of his characteristics that people don't want to always acknowledge. It says, verse 2, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. It tells us in verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger, and thank God for that. And great in power, oh yes, there's none to compare to him. And will not at all acquit the wicked. He's not going to let them go. He's not going to look at them because, maybe they did some fancy work or, some notable deed or something. If they're wicked, they haven't made their hearts right with the Lord, they're not going to be acquitted on that day. He's not going to let them go. He will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Oh my, you look up at those clouds and think, oh, those are just the dust of his feet. Oh my, but that's our mighty God, amen, and he has his way. Oh yes, he is going to have his way in this world, this forthcoming judgment. Man is not going to outrule God. That's the funniest thing to imagine, that's Looney Tunes. That's really crazy to even think that. But how many people are trying to outwit God? And, talks about those people that, actually conspire against God, second chapter of Psalms. But yes, he has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. In other words, they lose their vitality, their vigor, their fruitfulness, the greenness. They die. And Carmel, oh yes, Lebanon, we're known for their fruitfulness, and I'm sure Bashan too. And yet God says, dry up. They're going to dry. Amen. They're going to languish at his word. Amen. And so it is on that day. Oh, there's a description here in verse 5 here in Nahum 1. It says, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world, and all that dwell therein. And oh yes, the big question here again in verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Oh yes. If you're not right with God, it's not going to be good. Yes, you're not going to be able to stand before his indignation when he comes with vengeance to judge the world in his righteousness. Who can abide in the day in the fierceness of his anger? Oh my, when he pours out his fury like fire and he throws down the rocks. And big hell balls fall down, and you know, there's total destruction. But praise the Lord, I thank God. In the midst of this, we talk about being hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Praise the Lord, it tells us here in verse 7, to the contrary, to his children here, it says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Oh, praise the Lord, that's so beautiful. There, you know, that great contrast. Those that despised him and hated him, oh yes, who were contrary to his word, and oh yes, opposed him in every way they could. To the contrary, to his people, to his remnant, his children, he is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Oh yes, a place of safety. Praise the Lord, a fort. Oh, praise the Lord, a place of hiding. Praise the Lord in the day of God's great wrath. And oh yes, a little more description of all his vengeance. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. He's going to put it down, and it will not rise up again. He is going to make an utter end. It tells us here the 9th verse. And you know, what are you going to, you know, your silly imaginations, you're going to conspire against God? You know, you're going to take counsel against him and try to oppose him? What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time, for while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. Oh, stubble ready to be burned. Amen. Oh, it's time to get right with the Lord, isn't it? Oh my, it's time, oh yes, to cry out to the Lord, to seek him while he yet may be found. Amen. Oh, such a necessity. Oh, if people could only understand what's coming forth. You know, it just seems like the deception is so great. And oh, I feel so sorry for the young generations who have been so brainwashed and have all these other kind of thinkings, and many of them have not even gone to Sunday school. They don't even have some basics, it seems. Oh my, it's not good. And yet we are seeing it at this very moment, as oh my, things begin to culminate in, oh, we see what man is trying to do. And, oh, yes, the confusion of this world and all the remedies that they are trying to bring forth to fix it. Well, it's all going to be cut down. And with all of this, there is that day that God is going to destroy those works of darkness. They will be destroyed and never brought back again. Amen. As, oh yes, his judgment comes forth. Praise the Lord, he comes forth to reap this earth. Oh yes, that moment when, oh, it is over. And there he stands. There he stands. Oh yes, that angel has come forth, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea to, oh, declare that time shall be no more. And oh yes, our God comes forth to judge this world in his righteousness. Oh, it's told us in the 14th chapter of Revelation, oh, the need to get right. Those three angels that fly. It tells us here in Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, that cry that goes forth, that need right now while there is yet some time, oh my, to get right, to prepare the heart to repent, oh, to bend the knee, oh yes, to acknowledge God and get right. Oh yes. There quickly follows another angel in this 14th chapter of Revelation, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, all those that have been partakers, oh, in the sin of this world. And oh yes, it's going to fall, Babylon. Oh, this sin-driven world is going to fall. And oh yes, it will be the end. Amen. Yes, she will not again rise up. And it tells us, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Tells us, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. Oh, that remnant in the midst of all of this, as this world comes to its final end. And oh, yes, those that turn their hearts over to the beast, oh my, his image, and receive that mark in their forehead or in their hand. But yet there is the patience of the saints, those that still wait and yearn and look for his coming and keep his commandments. Praise the Lord in the faith of Jesus. Oh yes, it tells us, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Oh, yes, and then right after that you see that white cloud, and on that cloud there's this likened unto the one like unto the Son of Man. He has a golden crown on his head, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel comes out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And here it is, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. It's over. Amen. It's time. Oh, no more. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's the harvest. It's the harvest, and the harvest is being brought in. You know, it tells us another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the wine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God, bringing forth the judgment seat of Christ. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Oh, that time of his judgment is going to come forth one of these days. It will be over. And oh, yes, how important it will be to be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, yes, we're going to go to one more place, as far as I know, here tonight. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, yes, here Paul is writing. And he writes, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And this is where our mind, our attention needs to be. Oh, we can get so preoccupied with the things of this world. We can be run over with the cares of this life, you know, and they come in, you know, sometimes, you know, with vengeance to try to, you know, afflict us and to torment us. And it causes us to, you know, let go if they only could. But, oh, we want to just, oh, yes, continue to remember we need all that right mindset, the things that really matter. We need to seek those things that are above. We need to keep our eyes on the goal. Oh, that mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, that prize, that mark of the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. And yes, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, it's all going to perish. It's all going to be consumed. It's all going to be burnt up. Only that which is wrought in Christ is going to stand at this moment. Oh, yes, oh, yes, we need our focus to be right. It needs to be heaven bound. We need to just keep that, you know, as the main goal in our whole mind. Oh, our whole efforts need to just be geared around the things of God, our affections on things above, the things that matter, the things that are relevant to the kingdom of God, not on things on the earth. For it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Oh, praise the Lord. We have a hiding place in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, we've turned our ugly old sin and burdens over to the Lord. Oh, yes, we quit following the evil way. Oh, that path that leadeth to destruction, that wide, broad way. Oh, my, that goes the wrong way. But yes, we died to the things of this world. Oh my, we've turned it over to the Lord Jesus. And oh, it tells us our life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, praise the Lord, our plans, our purposes, our focus, how it needs, oh, to, oh, yes, just all pertain to the heavenly things. And yes, we have to do this and that in order to live, I understand. But yet, you know, we want to do it with the right attitude unto God, you know, with the right spirit, you know, as his child, as his servant, you know, glorifying him no matter what we're doing. Amen. So Amen. That our attention, our purpose is all on the right matter, on the Amen. Right thing. Focus on God. For it tells us, for when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Oh, that wonderful moment. Oh, yes, of the resurrection. Oh, praise the Lord, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Praise the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that moment. Oh, yes, when, oh, yes, oh, if our works are wrought in Christ. Oh, if he is our life, amen. Our life is hid in him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He will hide us in the day of the Lord's anger. We're covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that he shed. Oh, yes, for the remission of sins. So that we can be free from those sins that have haunted us. That have been on our back. Oh, yes, that would have caused us to go to the lake of fire. But praise the Lord, oh, Christ has become our life. And oh, Amen. Yes, when he shall appear, praise the Lord, Amen. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, that wonderful moment. Oh, yes, when we're all caught up. Oh, yes, to forever be with the Lord. Oh, yes, and he comes forth. Oh, to bring forth his new heaven and his new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, all these things happening at that moment. Lord coming, oh, descending from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And oh, praise the Lord, the dead in Christ rising first, and that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds Amen. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these Amen. Words. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Praise the Lord, oh, yes. The one who is our life, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, and thank God we can be hid in Jesus. Praise the Lord. That blood that prevails, oh, that blood that will never lose its power and its ability, oh, yes, to hide us from the wrath of him that sitteth on the throne. Oh, praise the Lord when he comes forth, oh, to judge this world with vengeance, oh, with his righteous judgment. Oh, thank God for his plan. Thank God for his purpose. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, oh, Lord, for what you have done for us, that you opened our eyes, our vision, so that, oh God, we can see, that we could repent, that we could turn to thee, oh, that we could be baptized in thy name, and oh yes, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for his plan. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Speak it to each in every heart, Lord. Help us, Lord, oh God, not to lose that vision. Oh God, help us not to lose our focus.
Thank
help
you,
us,
Jesus.
Lord, to be stayed upon thee. Oh God, help us to serve thee. Oh God, let our heart, our focus, our
Thank
minds
you, Lord.
Be stayed upon thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open to number 82 in our chorus books and sing Jesus is Coming Soon. Number 82. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many trumpets will sound. We'll get there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nose ran all day, but
well, I'm sure that whoever was online.